Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But I want to start with the announcement that came down. And you talk about like timing being everything. So the finalists for the 2020 Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame class were announced earlier today. How about this for a group to start with? Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. Now, how crazy is it? Now, by the way, the nominees for the class were announced back in December. So this is not like they're putting Kobe in just on a whim out of nowhere. You know, he was already going to be part of this class. And, of course, obviously, the tragedy with he and his daughter, amongst others, that perished in that helicopter crash. But how crazy is it to think, you know, about the fact that, you know, here's Kobe and one more celebration that everybody will be able to have with him when they have the Basketball Hall of Fame inductions. You know, and they say that the final class will be revealed at the Final Four, which is here in Atlanta, by the way. Now, obviously, Bryant, Duncan, Garnett are automatic 1,000% lock cinch. There's literally nothing you could do to keep any of those guys out of all of this. There are some others, 10-time WNBA All-Star, Tamika Catchings of the Indiana Fever, Kim Mulkey. She is the three-time NCAA champion from Baylor. She's had some controversy, by the way. You know, when there's been some things going down about, you know, some things that she has said. Five-time Division II Coach of the Year, Barbara Stevens of Bentley University. Four-time NCAA Coach of the Year, one of my favorite coaches growing up, Fast Eddie Sutton. Of course, he coached at Arkansas back when they had Sidney Moncrief in those guys. Coached at Kentucky. You know, all the issues that went down with Rex Chapman and Ron Ellis and Chris Mills and all that group of guys that was there at Kentucky, all the stuff that went down there. Then, of course, later on, he coached at Oklahoma State, and, of course, they were in that Final Four that had Georgia Tech in. Back when Paul Hewitt took Tech to the Final Four, Oklahoma State was part of that Final Four as well. And then another guy who I can't even imagine wouldn't get in the Hall of Fame, Houston Rockets, former head coach of the Houston Rockets, Rudy Tomjanovich. Which, is Rudy dead? Can you look that up, Jahi? Is Rudy Tomjanovich still with us? Why did I think that he had passed or something like that? Why did I think that he had lost a battle to cancer or something like that and is no longer with us? Rudy T is going to go in the Hall of Fame. I thought he was a terrific coach. Of course, he won the two NBA titles with the Houston Rockets. And people, you know, talk about, well, you know, he won it when Michael wasn't there. Who cares? They still won the two. They still, when I look at the record books, it says Houston Rockets were back-to-back NBA champions. There's no asterisk. There's no special provision or whatever like that. He and Hakeem and that group of guys, you know, no question about it that they had a terrific two-year run. By the way, Hall of Fame Chairman Jerry Colangelo. Oh, he's still alive? Okay, good, good. I don't know why I was thinking that he had gotten cancer and died or something like that. Jerry Colangelo said in a statement, the Hall of Fame Chairman, of course, he was the owner of the Chicago Bulls for such a long time. When the nominees for the class of 2020 were announced in December, we knew this class had the potential being one of the most historic of all time. The untimely passing of Kobe Bryant has left us in a state of reflective mourning, and we're proud to honor his legacy while also recognizing several individuals who have meant so much to our game. We congratulate our finalists and those who have supported them on the journeys and look forward to revealing the class of 2020 at the Final Four in Atlanta. So, Michael Wilbon, Mike Breen, by the way, they've been elected in the Hall of Fame as recipients of the Kurt Gowdy Media Award. Jim Gray is being honored as well as TNT's Inside the NBA Show. So you want to talk about like a collective group of stars and just a cavalcade of personalities and all kinds of things, you know, like that. I mean, there's a lot going on. This is going to be one of those ones that you're really going to watch because you know with the TNT crew, you know with Kobe Bryant, going in. Obviously, Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett, those are no-brainers as well. And then, like I said, guys like Rudy T, guys like Fast Eddie Sutton, you know, it's a hell of a class. I mean, you think about it, how great that is. But just it is kind of surreal to think that this is the year that Kobe Bryant is going in. I mean, bittersweet because obviously he's not here to revel in it and to be a part of it. But still, you know, if you know, unfortunately, with this happening, I don't know that the timing, you know, could be better, you know, to really give him a chance to continue to be honored. I mean, obviously the All-Star game this weekend is going to pay such great homage to Kobe and his legacy and his daughter and everything that goes along with it. You know, we've got the Futures game, you know, that Trae Young is going to be a part of. Obviously, he'll be part of the three-point contest. And then, of course, the game itself coming up on Sunday as well, coming up on Sunday night. So it's going to be a hell of a weekend for the NBA. And this Hall of Fame class announcement just kind of adding more layers to how great the NBA season is going to be. So, like we said, it's going to be a busy show, a lot to get into this evening with you. You know, coming up, we were talking a little bit about last night, the top 100 right now list that MLB Network was putting out there. And that list was unveiled last night. We didn't get a chance to talk about it when the actual list about where everybody finished. But we did say that two of the top 20 players in Major League Baseball were going to be Atlanta Braves, and that did hold true as Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna Jr. both ended up making the list of the top 20 players in it. But coming up, when we get back, did Ronald Acuna Jr. get jobbed in this list? I'm not really sure he got really a fair shake for what he's done and where he's at right now. We'll discuss that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Hanging out with you here on a Valentine's Friday. Sports Radio, 92 in the game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show as we hang out with you on a Friday night. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to interact with us, be a part of the show that way. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Stations all at 929 The Game. So we talked a little bit last night about the MLB Network as they were going to reveal their top 20 players, their quote-unquote top 100 right now, hashtag top 100 right now. And we knew that the Braves would have two of the top 20 players in Major League Baseball, and they ended up with Freddie Freeman at 15 and Ronald Acuna Jr. at 12. And I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest with you, and I understand track record, but the fact that Acuna is only 12th, considering that most people would rank him maybe as the best young player in all of Major League Baseball. Maybe on top of that, too, is the fact that Juan Soto actually was ahead of him at number 11. Now, it's not like Soto didn't have, you know, a really terrific year. He scored 110 runs, 34 homers, 110 RBIs, did steal 12 bases, 282 batting average, 401 on-base percentage, 949 OPS, finished ninth in the MVP race. But Ronald Acuna Jr. last year, when you look, led the majors or led the league in plate appearances last year, 715. Led the league in runs, 127. 41 homers, 101 RBIs. Now, his RBI total is because of the fact that he hits leadoff for this team. He did get a chance to hit cleanup, and he did drive in a pretty fair amount of runs when he hit cleanup for this team. His 37 stolen bases, that led the league as well. 280 batting average, 365 on base, 883. Silver Slugger, all-star appearance, and he finished fifth in the MVP voting. Fifth in the MVP, was an all-star, starting all-star, and he got a Silver Slugger as one of the top outfielders. Now, again, I'm not trying to take away anything from Juan Soto and how, you know, terrific of a player he is, but he didn't have a better season than Ronald Acuna Jr. when you look at not just the raw numbers, but again, you talk about a guy who led the league in plate appearances, led the league in runs scored, led the league in stolen bases, finished higher in the MVP, almost finished 2-1 higher in the MVP, also was a Silver Slugger winner, also was a starting All-Star. I don't know. If you ask me, I'm not so sure Ronald Acuña Jr. didn't get jobbed a little bit in this thing. You know, you look at the top of the list. Mike Trout at one. We said that last night. Yelich, Bellinger, Betts, you know, we knew that was going to be 2, 3, 4, however they were going to rank them. Bregman, another guy at 5. Anthony Rendon at number 6. Garrett Cole at 7. DeGrom at 8. Nolan Arenado at 9. Francisco Lindor at 10. Now, here's what I think is also crazy about this. When you look at the top 20 players, okay? Steven Strasburg comes in at 20. He was a free agent this year. Then you really go into the top 10. Lindor could be had. Arenado could be had. Cole was a free agent. Rendon was a free agent. Betts was had. Think about that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in the top 10. So 5 of what is considered the top 10 best players either changed teams or still may change teams. And let me tell you, you wonder why I get frustrated. 5 of the top 10 players in Major League Baseball are either have swapped or will swap. Yeah, we know Betts, Cole, and Rendon, they've all swapped. We know the Indians wanted to move Lindor. We know that Arenado ain't happy and still may get moved out of there. Think about that. 5 of the 10 best players in Major League Baseball could be had, were had, or will be had. And that's why I get angry. That it's things like that. When we have a team here with 2 of the top 20 players in Major League Baseball, why not go add a top 10 player? Why not go add a guy? Why not go add somebody of that caliber, of Betts or Rendon or Arenado or Lindor? You know, hell, like I said, I'll take Chris Bryant. But see, that's why you guys wonder why I get upset and angry and things. It's because of stuff like this. When you see that, you're like, God dang. This is a lot of guys moving. That's half the top 10 players in baseball moving around. At least 3 of them have moved, and 2 probably will. The Indians aren't going to sign Lindor long term. If he doesn't move at the All-Star break, he won't be an Indian next year. Arenado, how much longer can that go on? So, yeah, you wonder why I get fired up. But back to the original point, I think if you look at it, I think Ronald Acuña Jr., I think he got jobbed a little bit. I think you could have very much put him in the top 10. I also, again, I think Juan Soto's a terrific player. He didn't have a better season than his team had a better season because they won the World Series. But if you're telling me that if you're trying to sell me that Soto had a better year, I don't think he's a better player right now or had a better year than Ronald Acuña Jr. And add the defense and everything else, you know, into it and all that kind of stuff. I think he might have gotten jobbed a little bit. I mean, hard to imagine right now if you put every player into an MLB free agent draft, how many guys realistically would go before Ronald Acuña Jr.? Trout would go because he's the best player in Major League Baseball. I got no problem saying that. And Bellinger's young, and Yelich is young, and Betts is young, Bregman's young. You know, I got no problem if you told me that all those 5 guys go first. I get that. Because they're great players and they're youthful and they're in their prime. And really, when you think about it, hell, Bregman's so young. I mean, you know, Betts is so young. I mean, you know, those guys technically aren't even in their prime, if you will, when you think about it. 404-741-0929. That is the phone line if you want to respond and interact with us. Also, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Darlene out in Marietta. What's going on, Darlene?
Excuse me. Hi, John. Mr. Chuckley.
Yes.
I just want to call and tell you that you are my favorite weekend and weeknight host.
Thank you.
I just love listening to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I greatly appreciate that. Now, what are you doing on Valentine's Day, Darlene? How's come you're not out and about running around tonight?
Well, I'm not in a relationship. I'm just listening to you.
Thank you. Well, listen, listen. I will do. I promise you, Darlene, I'm going to do my best tonight to keep you informed and entertained. Okay.
Tell you what, my favorite What Spoke and Chuckley was.
What's that?
I like What Spoke and Chuckley. My favorite What Spoke and Chuckley was when you were saying that parents are naming their babies after the Game of Thrones actors.
Oh yeah.
That was so funny.
Thank you, Darlene. I appreciate that, and have a great night out there. Yes. I mean, like last year, like the Game of Thrones, had like 10 of the top 40 names or something that people were naming their kids after. Man, get real. Oh, Lordy. Steve,
I called him
down in Atlanta. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, John?
Hey, Matt.
Dude, first of all, I love hearing you on the way home, man. 7 o'clock. You're my favorite ride home.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
I could not agree more. Could not agree more, man. You got to add all his numbers, plus, like you just said, the defensive prowess. Are you kidding me? He's one of the best defensive outfielders in baseball.
Yeah, and
younger than Soto.
Yeah, and when you talk about the fact that, look, he led the league in runs scored, led the league in stolen bases, it's not like he was, you know, some ham and egger, you know, when it came to, you know, statistical, you know, leadership cat, you know, steals, that's a good number. Runs scored, that's kind of the point of the entire game of baseball. And again, I mean, I'm not trying to take away anything from Soto, but Soto was ninth in the MVP. Acuna was fifth in the MVP. There is something to that, right? I mean, you would think that there's something kind of to all of that, and there should be some factor that there must be something that the guy's doing right.
Absolutely, and from the leadoff spot, when he's forced to be put there, because he's a prototypical 3-4 hitter.
Yeah,
and you make him bat leadoff, and he excels.
Yeah, no question about it. I appreciate the phone call, Steve. I kind of think he got jobbed a little bit. You know, I don't really have a problem with. I figured Freddie Freeman would be somewhere in that bottom tier of 15 to 20. So the fact that he's 15, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, there's a lot of great players in front of him, with all due respect. Scherzer, Verlander. Okay, those two guys are first ballot Hall of Famers. You understand that, right? Scherzer and Verlander are first ballot Hall of Famers, okay? Trout's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Jacob DeGrom will probably find himself in the Hall of Fame at some point. You know, obviously all the other guys still have a long way. I got no problem with Freddie Freeman is. You tell me he's the 15th best player in baseball. That's still a pretty damn good spot for him to be in through all of it. Let's quickly here before we get to break. Let's grab John out in Athens. What's going on, John?
What's going on, Tucker?
Hey,
what's going on, man? Listen, normally I don't agree with you, so I don't know what's going on tonight, but you're absolutely right. I don't see Acuna being that far down the list, the 12. I see him maybe putting him at 6 because, like you said, there's so much other talent in the league, like Yelich and Betts and all that. So, I do think 12 is a little high. I think 6 is perfect. I mean, Acuna's got everything you need, the speed, the bat. He's got the swag. I mean, he's young. So, yeah, man, I don't know what's going on Valentine's Day, but you have to speak the truth tonight, brother. You go ahead and keep it going.
All right. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, listen, to your point, I mean, Betts, Bellinger, Yelich, Trout, that's 4 MVPs. I'm not taking away anything from Acuna, but those guys are the MVP of baseball, right? I mean, those guys have all won an MVP. Can't dismiss how good, and they're all right, like dead square in their prime. I got no problem with that part of it. I don't know. I thought he should be higher than Soto, and probably should be, you know, more in the top 10 when it's all said and done. And truthfully, he had a better year. And if we're talking about right now, you know, you can either say Acuna projects higher or his numbers last year right now were better. Either way, he still should finish ahead of him. But then again, what do I know? I'm just some ham and egger here on the radio. All right, Arthur spoke to Vaughn McClure, and I still say, folks, I just think this bar is set too low. We'll talk about the Falcons up next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Atlanta Hawks, they've released their 2020-2021 season ticket membership for the upcoming regular season on Hawks.com. Hawks season ticket membership is for fans who want access to the best benefits and who are interested in purchasing seats for the entire season. Go to Hawks.com for more info on season ticket memberships. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on a Friday night. Coming up at the top of the hour, like we said, we got a couple of NFL draft prospects that are going to join us. Hakeem Adeniji and Michael Pinckney from the U is going to join us. We'll talk to those guys as they get ready for the NFL Combine coming up here in about like 8 days or something like that. Hard to believe that we're headed to that point, and free agency and everything else that's coming very, very quickly here. Free agency will really get kind of cranked up as the New Year League starts in the early part of March. Don't forget, follow us on social media. The station's at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. So Arthur Blank speaking to Vaughn McClure here, sticking to his guns about the expectations for this upcoming season for the Atlanta Falcons. Vaughn starts out by saying that he's been asked every which way about number of wins and things like that. But while Arthur won't talk about specific number of wins, he does expect the Falcons to be contenders, saying, quote, yep, I can definitely say that's right in talking about them being nothing less than contenders for a playoff spot. Quote, I think the fact that the back half of the year we were 6-2, that tells you everything you need to know, that we finally got the formula right. Coach made some changes with some coaching assignments. He made changes in terms of play calling. He moved some players around. We played with some great intensity, winning three very tough away games, the Saints game, the Carolina game, and the San Francisco game. It's clear that the players love the coach and want to perform for him at the highest level, so that's what gives me confidence going into this year. Plus, the draft will be good for us this year. We have three picks in the first two rounds. We'll definitely be able to improve our team. Now, I keep saying that, and maybe it's not fair, but, to me, if you're telling me that you've brought Dan and Thomas back and there's no real changes, other than some coaches and stuff like that, but again, I'm not, coaches come and go, okay? Coaches come and go, and that's all part of it, assistants and things like that, good, bad, or otherwise. Malarkey retires, okay. But, if you're telling me we've got Matt and Julio and Grady and Debo and Jake and Alex and all these high-priced guys that are signed, then it's about the Super Bowl. And the fact that you kept everybody in place tells me you have to think that they can win the Super Bowl. Why can't we say that? Why? It's like the Braves. Why is it that there's just such a hesitation to just put those words out there? Hey, we really think that this is our year to win the Super Bowl. What's wrong with Arthur saying that? If you want to tell me Dan or Thomas or Matt Ryan don't want to say that, okay. Why can't Arthur say that? Why does it have to be things like, well, we expect to be contenders for a playoff spot, we expect to be competitive and this, that, and the other? That's it? I mean, you made no changes whatsoever, and you're telling me that, that's just because of a second half? And that, we hope to be a playoff team. We should be a playoff team. What do you mean you should be a playoff team? You should be competing for the Super Bowl with the roster that you have. And if you don't, then Arthur, you've made a mistake in your evaluation of the guys you got helping to run this team. And that's what just, again, we keep talking about these things with the Braves, with the Falcons, putting some real expectations out there. Not phony baloney, let's compete for a playoff spot and let's take the next step. No. Not when all these guys are signed to big money deals and our quarterback's in his prime and our wide receiver's in his prime. Talking about the playoffs and just trying to get there, that doesn't work. Now, we talked about Devontae Freeman and the fact that it's very possible that he may be gone, okay? And we know that Arthur came out and didn't say about Austin Hooper, he needs to be a Falcon for life and this, that, and the other. Oh, by the way, one other comment about the thing. It's clear that the players love the coach and want to perform from at the highest level. Really? Where was that in the first half of the season? Why is it only an 8-game sample of they want to play for the coach? And let me ask you a question. Is part of why they want to play for a coach because there's no accountability on this team? Is anybody willing to say that? That maybe one of the reasons why the guys love Dan Quinn is because, is there any real accountability? Is anybody really held accountable for piss poor performance and things like that? Or that just kind of slides because the coach can't coach either? So I don't really care if they like to play for, listen, I don't care if you like to play for Bill Parcells, you like him or don't like him. Okay? I don't care if you like playing for Belichick or don't like playing for Belichick. You know what I like? Winning. I like winning lots of games. Now, talking about Devontae Freeman, and obviously 3 years, $21 million remaining on his deal. And Arthur commenting about him, and, you know, obviously he's been a staple of this franchise for several years now. Freeman made the comment that he has a lot of love for Arthur Blank. Arthur responded by saying, quote, "Well, I love him too, but this has nothing to do with love. It has to do with building a roster. The salary cap is not unlimited. It seems like it's unlimited, but it's not. And the investments we have made, which have been very, very substantial with a wide variety of players on both sides of the ball, have been significant. So personnel and coach and team president Rich McKay, they'll be looking at everything and making sure we're making investments in the right area based on what the roster has to look like going forward. How it's going to affect one individual player, I have no idea. Sure, I love what Freeman brings to the team. I also know we've drafted well and we've got some really good backups now today. We'll see how that works out." See, I have no problem with him saying something like that. Because that's real. What he just explained and how he just explained it is the real deal. Hey, man, we love Devontae, but it's a business. And they have made big commitments to other folks in other areas. And truthfully, probably to better players as well. So, I mean, when I hear Arthur say that, I appreciate what he's saying there. That is very reasoned, very truthful. And that's why I want him to kind of go the same way with when we talk about what this team is and what they were and this, that, and the other. Not just, well, you know, we want to be competitive and think we can make a playoff spot. Well, that's not good enough. It's not good enough. Talking about Matt Ryan and obviously the fact that this offensive line needs to keep him upright and protect him. Arthur talking about this is, quote, "No matter who it is, very few quarterbacks, almost no quarterbacks, play better when running around thinking about their lives as opposed to their livelihood. So you want to continue to put pressure on them. And obviously it helps when you have great coverage in the secondary to be able to do that as well." Talking about trying to get their own pass rush going out there. Yeah, I mean, listen, the reality is that that's their glaring weakness. There's not anybody associated with NFL football, from a talking head to a pundit to a scribe to whatever you've got out there, that doesn't understand that the Falcons desperately need a dominant pass rusher. Whether you want to say draft it, whether you want to say sign free agent, or whatever it's going to be, but a dominant pass rusher. And obviously Matt in place, maybe right now the only stable quarterback within the division. Blank talking about the NFC South, quote, "Well, I think it's an interesting year. You've got a team in Tampa that's got a lot of talent, certainly. They've got a lot of talent on defense. They've got some great wide receivers. They've got a quarterback that when he's on, he's incredible. When he's not, he's equally incredible. You've got a bright, young, good coach in Matt Rhule in Carolina with an owner I think is committed to winning and will do whatever it takes to win. So that'll be interesting. I think the Saints are getting a little bit older, and whether Drew Brees comes back or not, time will tell. But they've won with their backup quarterback, so I think we'll have a very competitive division again." So interesting stuff as always from Arthur. But boy, I wish we could just get that expectation bar to rise up a little bit higher. All right, Michael Avenatti, he was found guilty trying to basically hold Nike hostage for some money. We'll give you that story next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.